Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this series of programs, we've been discussing how God demonstrated His love for us when He gave His only begotten Son to die for us on the day of Passover. Right now in our story, we are at the point where Jesus has been betrayed by Judas, and now the thugs are carrying Him away to Caiaphas. Let's pick up the story in Matthew chapter 26, and we'll read verses 57 through 64. This is Matthew chapter 26, verses 57 through 64. The thugs that arrested Jesus led Him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus so that they could put Him to death. Though many false witnesses came, they did not find two false witnesses that agreed until two said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" Then Caiaphas arose and said to Yeshua, "Aren't you going to answer these witnesses?" But Jesus held His peace. So Caiaphas yelled at Yeshua, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus responded, "You said it. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Now let me ask you this question, my friends. How does this show the love of God? Our major theme in this series of programs is God is love. We must be love. So how does God show love through this particular set of scriptures here? Well, to answer that, let's turn to Acts chapter 2, and we'll read verses 23 through 39. This is the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verses 23 through 39. Because it was on the day of Pentecost, which was about 50 days after this, maybe 53 days after the day of Passover. So on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the same message of the Son of God returning from heaven to earth to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And let's see what the result was. Again, this is Acts chapter 2, verses 23 through 39. "Yeshua, being delivered to you according to God's plan, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified. But the same Jesus God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it. David spoke concerning Him when he said, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. Because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. But men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, so he couldn't have been talking to himself. His tomb is with us to this day. Because he was a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to his flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, because he was a prophet, he, seeing this before, prophesied of the resurrection of Christ, in saying that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption.' So David knew that he was not speaking of himself, that he was really prophesying of the Christ. For David is not yet ascended into the heavens. But he says of himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit you on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool.'" Now when it says, "the Lord said to my Lord," the Lord means the Father, said to my Lord, meaning the Son, "Son, sit on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool." So this Son, who is Jesus, has God the Father raised up, whereof we are all his witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted into the heavens, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth the same Holy Spirit on you, which you now see and hear. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, he has made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. And that was the end of Peter's sermon. Now, when they heard this, the crowds, they were pricked in their heart. In other words, this really convicted them. This cut to their hearts, this cut through their consciences, it really moved them, it affected them greatly. So it says they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And if you do this, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And doesn't this remind you of the scripture? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is the love of God in this passage. So when Jesus was talking to Caiaphas and saying, "I am the Son of God, and you will see the Son of God coming in the clouds of heaven with power," he wasn't angry at Caiaphas. He was speaking love language. He was telling Caiaphas, "Listen, even though you are about to condemn me to death, I love you. I am going to come back in power to set things straight, and at that time you are going to know your sin, that you crucified me, but because I love you, I am going to give you a chance to repent. I am going to give you a chance to receive the Holy Spirit." That's the same message that Peter preached, and we see the result. Many people were baptized because they were pricked in their hearts. I'm sure that Caiaphas, when his eyes are open, he will be pricked to his heart, and he will fall down at the feet of his Lord and his Christ and say, "Please forgive me, for I know not what I did." That's love. Now, let's read in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, because we're going to see the same type of language used. This is Daniel chapter 7 and verses 13 through 14. And Daniel is prophesying here, saying, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed." So we see here again this love language, prophesying of himself, that he is going to come to the earth to establish the kingdom of God over all of the earth, and everybody will bow down and serve our Lord, because they will recognize that he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that he is righteous and holy, that his dominion is an everlasting dominion, one that brings peace and joy and love. And that's because God will rule over all of the earth through Jesus Christ at his second coming. Now, it's interesting that Jesus didn't respond to his false accusers. When they accused him of saying that he was going to destroy the temple in 3 days, or destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, he didn't answer them. And you're going to see in other accounts where Jesus, when he was faced with false accusations, he didn't even respond. But when Caiaphas, the high priest, demanded in the name of God that Yeshua, the real high priest, tell him whether he is the Son of God, then the Messiah answered. And I find that very interesting, because what it tells us is that Jesus Christ, again, is not concerned about false accusations, about being persecuted. What Jesus Christ is concerned about is the truth that people know that He is the Son of God, that He will return to this earth to rule this earth in righteousness and in love. He will do that because He is God, and God is love. So if God is love, and if God is in us, which we saw that God is in us through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is living in us through the Holy Spirit. So if God is love and God is in us, we must be love. So we should be doing the same thing, taking this truth of the gospel to all of the world, not being concerned about false accusations against us, not even being concerned about persecution, even unto death. Because what we should be concerned with is expressing to our brothers and sisters in this darkened world the love of God. We should be reaching out to them with this hope, the only hope they have of salvation, the only hope that they have of fulfilling all of their needs, of having the love, the joy, the peace that everyone deep down in their heart is yearning for. But of course, this has eluded them all of mankind's history, because mankind has been blinded to this truth, because mankind took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of taking of the tree of life. Mankind, in effect, has been kicked out of the Garden of Eden, has been cut off from access to God, because God has said, okay, you want to do everything on your own, you want to live your own life, go ahead and do it, see where it ends up. And you can look around and see all of the pain and suffering, the hurt, the sorrow that we have, the sin, the sickness, the perversions that we have, all of the death that surrounds people and destruction. That's the result of us living our own way. So the love of God is to tell our accusers, not to answer them with the false accusations, but to tell our accusers that there is a Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Savior, who is anointed to save the world, that He will return to this earth soon and usher in the kingdom of God. He is going to put down all rule and rebellion. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. It is a dominion, a rule, a kingdom of love, because God is love.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.